Blog Talk Radio.
This evening, and we pray that it would be a blessing unto all of you that are listening. We do thank you for tuning in each and every Wednesday at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And it's just a joy just to be able to come together and just share the Word of God. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to Apostle Derek Scott at this time. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for health. We thank you for strength. And, Lord, Father, we thank you just for coming together, Heavenly Father, as men and women of God, just to share a word and to develop a closer relationship with you. Father, we pray for the sick and afflicted at this time, those with cancer, those lacking finances. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for unity within the marriage. Father, we pray for schools across states. We pray for increased learning, Heavenly Father, and love one for another. Father, we ask that you bless the hearers as we come together in unity and in one spirit. We just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in the mighty and majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Apostle Scott, are you on at this time?
God bless you there, Elder John Clay, and to the New Beginning Ministry there in Cleveland, Solon. Amen. We bless God for you all tonight and excited about the program.
Amen, amen. We do thank you for being a part of the program, and we're anxious to hear what the Lord has laid on your heart this evening, and I'm sure those that who are listening are anxious as well.
Amen, amen. Well, I just am excited. We just released our third book, Church on Life Support, and we previously ministered that word on the program, and we're excited about just speaking life. That's what we're
amen.
Season bring
in. Apostle Scott, bring your mic a little bit closer.
Yes.
That's much better.
You there?
Yes, that's much
better. Okay. Okay, so again, we're excited about the word tonight, and we're excited about the word being a lamp into our feet and a light into our pathway, according to Psalm 119:105. And we're just excited. I just want you to be encouraged, man of God, and those who are out there listening, that God is the God of the turnaround.
Amen. 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 Yes, He is. We're turning basically everything to you, and our ears are open and hearts and minds ready to receive.
Amen. Well, I first want to come before the throne of grace, as you have already prayed, and I just want to be in agreement to those who are out there listening tonight that this is a rhema word. It's a word that is needed for this day and this hour and this time, and so I bless God, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So tonight we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to not only open up the bread of life, but, Father, to share the bread. Father, you said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. So, Father God, we ask you, Lord God, let the hearers of this word and the doers of the word be blessed and encouraged in this hour. And, Father, that it's a revelatory word for your people to not only grow, but to go. Father, the Great Commission has caused us to go into the world and to teach and preach the gospel. So, Father, I pray that all those who are listening and all those who are going to listen will be encouraged by this word. We pray this in faith, in Jesus' name. I want again to talk about Jesus brings dead things to life. And again, to reiterate that my new book is called The Church on Life Support, and that is a book that is readily available for those who are avid readers, who are knowledge extenders. You can order that book by my P.O. Box 105, Niles, Ohio, Warren, Ohio, Niles, Ohio, 44446. Once again, Derek Scott, P.O. Box 105, Niles, Ohio, 44446. And there is a love offering that you can send. I'm not going to, I just believe that you want to bless the ministry with the word that you're going to receive. And as you sow your seed, then the book will be ready and available to be shipped back out to you, to those who are listening and those who would want to get the book. To get that out of the way, I think that that's the foundation tonight that we're going to deal with.
because Jesus did come to give us life, and that Amen. Much more abundantly. So we have to recognize that in this hour that we're living in, there's so much despair and distress and depression, and people don't know where they're going to, whether they have a job or whatever things that are going on pertaining to this society. But we got to remind ourselves that the believer has to recognize that one thing that Jesus came to do is that to give life, and that much more abundantly. So what we have to do in this hour, Elder Clay, is to, again, and to those listening, we have to exhort and edify and to prophesy and speak life, speak miracles, speak healing, speak miracles. This is an hour for the church to operate not only out of the gifts, but out of the love of God, because the love of God covers a multitude of sin. And so there is, in this scripture tonight, in Mark chapter 5, for those who have their Bibles open, we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read 1 through 20 in verses, and I'm going to be reading out of the King James translation tonight. The word of the Lord says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into that swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was oppressed or possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. We want to just, you know, deal with three areas tonight to those who are listening. The first area we're going to deal with is the spiritual area of the scripture. And then we're going to deal with the physical area of this scripture, and then we're going to talk about the financial area of this particular scripture. The first thing we got to see, that in the spirit realm, here's a man that is dead. he's sleeping in the tombs. He's sleeping in the cemetery, as we would say in the 21st century. He is a zombie, we would call a man that is walking dead without any life. And again, we want to deal with the subject matter, Jesus bringing dead things to life. Again, Jesus bringing dead things to life. Here's a man whose spirit has been tormented. He has been probably rejected. He's probably been ridiculed. He's been called a lunatic. He's been called probably demon-possessed. Probably the whole town knows who this man is. He's a spectacle to the city. He's probably one that is like today, people who are in the world who have not been born again and yet they are demon possessed. Some of them are family members. Some of them are in our neighborhood. Some of them are on our jobs. And so we look at these people from the spiritual side as being demons or demonic. And we have to deal with the spiritual side first, because one thing that we have to recognize that as a body of believers, our job is to witness. Our job is to plant water and then let God give the increase. And so the Great Commission, I feel, has been done a misservice or injustice around the nation. I feel that we have missed what the Scriptures tells us by the word to go into the world and preach the gospel, Matthew 28 and also Mark 16, how he tells us to go into the world and to preach the gospel. So we have a great commission. Jesus is the pattern. Jesus is the one that we are patterning our ministries after, because we have people even today that are demon-possessed. We have people that are walking dead spiritually. They have not come alive. They have not been born again. And so how we perceive people today in the 21st century is probably how the people in that city called the Gadarenes were probably perceiving this man who lay among the dead, who lay among the tombs. And one of the things that we have to remember that when you are a man of not the Spirit of God, then you have many things that have probably tormented you. And so here's a man that the Bible says had 2,000 demons that went into the swine, 2,000. So that tells me about that he had for about 2,000 demons. Some people and some theologians may argue the point of it didn't say that he had 2,000 demons, but the Bible says that 2,000 of them went into the swine. So there had to be 2,000 pigs to receive what was in that man. And so whether he had 2,000 demons or whether he had 5 demons, there was a demon spirit that was operating in the man. And so anything that has not been born again is operating out of demonic activity. Unless we are born of the water and of the Spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3 tells us that. So what we have to recognize that here's a man with fetters and chains, and no man can tame him. He's in the mountains night and day, and he's crying and cutting himself with stones. And he sees Jesus afar off. He sees the one who has the life in him. And that's what we have to recognize, that the life that is in us is not supposed to be hidden, because no man can light a candle and put it up under a tree or a bush. Our job is to let our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify the Father together with us. And so this man sees Jesus, and he sees Jesus, and what I love about the man, he runs toward Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 6 that, and he worshipped him. Now, we've got to first identify that how can he know if he's demon-possessed that it's Jesus? And sometimes we have to recognize in the 21st century that people ought to be able to recognize that the Jesus in us. They ought to be able to recognize that there's something different. I don't care how many people around us are demon-possessed. We that are the children of God ought to make a difference. We ought to have something in our life that shows an identity that there is something different about us. That is what we call the anointing. It is because he has anointed us to preach the gospel. Isaiah 61
He talks about how he has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captive, to those who have been bruised, to set them at liberty. One of the things that we got to recognize is that we don't have the spirit of fear. I don't care if a person is demon-possessed, if they have come out of the mental hospital or they're on their way to the mental hospital. God is still in the healing business. He's using Jesus, even in this day and time, to change the minds of people. And what I love about it is that when Jesus sees this man, Jesus does not talk about him like most of the people in the city. He doesn't try to tell his armor bearer to get the man away from him. In fact, Jesus didn't even have an armor bearer. Jesus just had the 12 disciples. And yet Jesus was not afraid of this man who had these demons in him. Jesus confronted the demons by giving 8 words. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. How ironic that there is a new beginning for this ministry, New Beginning Ministries. How God uses 8 words to use for a man who needs a life support system. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so he comes to the place where Jesus is to bring that which is dead to life. That's why it's so important for us to catch the revelation of this message tonight, because Jesus still wants to bring dead things to life. That's the spirit man. And so here's the spirit man that is in this man now alive. He has come alive. He is now in his right mind, sitting there with Jesus, clothed and in his right minds. The demons have, amen, left this man. They have gone into the swine and the subsequently place that they go to a wet place. They go out of the dry place to the wet place. They go into the water and they are drowned. And sometimes that's what God wants us to be able to do, because as the scripture says, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. We are the water system to the demons that are looking, amen, to come out. Amen. They're looking to come out, but some of us have the water in us, but we will not open up our mouths. We will not do the Great Commission. And so I want to admonish those who are listening that you have a water system in you that can speak to demons, to dry places, and cause the demons and the dry places, amen, to come out of people. We have the ability to prophesy to dry bones. We have the ability, amen, to exhort and to edify and to encourage. And so we have to recognize that Jesus is a man full of compassion. That's one of the things that we got to recognize. If we're going to cast out anything, we have to love people where they're at. We cannot judge them or condemn them. We have to love people right where they're at, whether they're demonic or whether they're not. We have to recognize that God is love. He wants us to be able to overcome the evil with love. And I think that's where the people in this city, like so many cities today and so many nations today, the people are afraid. They're walking in fear. People are walking the streets, sleeping in the streets. And yet we have all this gospel, all these churches that are in the world today, and yet we have more people that are demonized, and some of them are even in the house of God. People are struggling with depression and oppression, even being born again. We have an epidemic right now of death that is running rampant, not only in nations, but it's running rampant in the church. And I think that when we look at the church called Pergamos in Revelation, it talks about that being a worldly church, and then it talks about Sardis being spiritually dead, and then we talk about Ephesus being a loveless church. And then we talk about Smyrna being a suffering church, and we talk about Laodicea being a lukewarm church, and we talk about Thyatira being a wrong doctrine church. And so we have to recognize that God has given characteristics of the 7 churches in Revelation, but the thing that we have to recognize is the faithful church. That's Philadelphia. God wants us to be faithful. And so Jesus is carrying out his assignment from the Father, not trying to condemn. He did not come into the world to condemn anything or anyone. He came that through him the world might be saved. And so here is a demonstration. Here is an activation that Jesus brings a dead thing to life. Jesus brings a dead thing to life. The man that is sleeping in the cemetery among the dead has now come alive. And so when we look at the spiritual side of this particular scripture, that is the revelation that we must begin to speak into these lives of the people around the world. And I know that this broadcast is going around the world and many people are going to listen. But I want to admonish the people of God tonight that life is in your tongue. Life
Amen.
And death is in the power of your tongue. And I
Amen.
Want you to know that he has given us, according to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, and we're going to say this in part, he has given us the tongue of the learned. He has given us the ear of the learned to be able to speak a word in season to those who are weary. And I want you to get that scripture in your spirit, because Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 is so revelatory today, because so many people are using their tongue and their ear in the wrong perspective. And so once we begin to hear and begin to speak that which God wants us to speak and that which he wants us to hear, we will begin to see the lives spiritually change. Here's a man that has a perception that Jesus is going to be just like everybody else in the city. He's going to torment him. But Jesus knows that his words are spirit and they are life. And so once we begin to identify as a believer that our words are spirit and life, we'll begin to admonish people in a different perspective. We will not look at situations and say that it's death, but we'll begin to prophesy to the dry bones and say, come alive. We'll prophesy to the things that looks like they're demonic and say, come alive. And so from the spiritual side, I just want to, again, admonish those who are spiritual to begin to use your gift of prophecy. Use the gift of wisdom. Use the gift of knowledge. Use the gift of faith. And allow the Holy Spirit to discern what to say and how to say it, because we sometimes are preconceived in our thoughts. We don't meditate before we speak. And so we have to remember to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable unto God, which is our not only reasonable service, but it's our duty. It's our duty to meditate on our words, to allow words to come out of us that are going to be building up and not just tearing down. There's a season. Jeremiah talks about that in Jeremiah 1, not only how there's a time to build and a time to plant and a time to tear down, a time to destroy. And so there is a time for all those things. But when we're dealing with people who need to be saved, people who are struggling, people who are maybe demon-possessed, we that are believers need to use the wisdom, because he says with love and kindness has he drawn us. And we have to recognize that Jesus does not condemn the man. He doesn't have a preconceived thought about the man. Jesus uses love and kindness. I often say that number 8 is so important, new beginning, because God is not only doing a new beginning in this hour of his people, he's trying to bring nations into a new beginning, nations that have rejected him, nations and families that have rejected him from the truth. And so we're living in a day and a time where I believe spiritually that there is an outpouring. There's a revival taking place in the nations. Even though it looks like it's darkness, there's a light that is shining around the nation, and his name is Jesus. He's still the light of the world. He's still on the throne. He's still healing. He's still, amen, casting out devils. He's still raising the dead. He's still, amen, bringing light to those who are inquiring of him, those who are seeking him. He is still bringing life, support, to his people. And that's why it's so important that we're not hooked to a machine tonight. We're not, amen, we're not in some apparatus in a hospital room or a nursing home where there's some apparatuses hooked to us or some cords hooked to us that is keeping us alive. We are breathing the breath of life because of the life giver. And his name is God. He has sent his son Jesus to redeem us, and no man can come to the Father except by his son Jesus. And so that's why it's so important for you to recognize the name of Jesus, the name that's above
all names. He's still the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's still, amen, raising his praise to the world and to the nations. He's still exalted above all the earth. And so that's why I love him tonight. That's why I admonish those who don't know him. Maybe you're listening to this program for the first time. I admonish you to know this man, Jesus, to come into a revelation of who he is for your life, not just for what he may have done for others, but what he can do for your life. And this man that was in that city called the Gadarenes, he met a man. He met a man that day that turned his life around. Let's look at the physical side of this particular passage of Scripture. The physical side of it is that he had been tormented. He had been probably called a mental case. He was probably, amen, an outcast in that city. Nobody wanted to deal with him. He had probably not many friends, but those who were dead sleeping in the grave. And so when we look at the physical side of this particular Scripture, we have to recognize that God wants us healed. He wants us whole. He wants us to be able to say that we were once sick, but now we are well. And so that's why his grace is sufficient tonight, that when we are weak, he's strong. And then he tells us that the strong shall bear the infirmities of the weak. And that's why it's so important for us not to have preconceived thoughts when people are going through things, and especially in the body of Christ, because we have such a skepticism that's running rampant today, talking about the devil, the devil, the devil. But the devil has been defeated over 2,000 years ago. God made us in his image and his likeness. We have to recognize that Adam was created from the dust of the ground. God took a body, breathed into him, and he became a living soul. But we got to remember that in the likeness of man, he comes from the dust. And so many times, I put this in my book, so many times we look at the likeness of God. We look at the dirt that is going on. We do dirty things to one another. We do dirty in and out of the church, not just in the world. We do dirty things in the church to one another. And so we are used to dirt. We are used to the likeness. But I believe that there is a time that is now in the midst of us that we have to look at the image. Genesis 1 says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The first thing he did was created the heaven. The second thing he did was created the earth. So Adam comes from, the first Adam comes from the dust. Amen. But the second Adam is from above. Jesus spoke to Gabriel, told Gabriel, go down and tell Mary that she shall have a son. So in other words, Gabriel brings the seed from the Father. It goes into Mary's ear. It goes into her heart. And then it goes into her womb. You know, let me just remind you, that's how we got here. Our mothers and fathers got together. Our father probably told our mother something. You look so sweet tonight. It went into her ear. It went into her heart. And next thing you know, intimacy took place. And that's me and you here, Brother John, and those who are listening. That's how we came here, by a word, by a seed. And that's how the Immaculate Conception of Jesus takes place. It's from Gabriel, from the Father, the messenger angel, brings it to Mary. It goes into her womb. The seed, the word, goes into her womb. And an incorruptible seed. There was no intimacy between Gabriel and Mary. There was no man that touched Mary. She was a virgin. And so that's why the word, once it is received in good ground, it reveals not the likeness of man, it reveals the image of man from above. And so that's why we are made in his image and his likeness. That's why we have to come to that place of the image and not just the likeness, because once you are an image bearer, you look just like him, you talk like him, you got the same, amen, thoughts of him. You do what Jesus did, because we are called Christians to be Christ-like. That's why our identity is not likeness. Our identity is image. We are in the image of God. And so we talk about the devil more than we talk about the image. And that's why I can't understand how so many people talk about the devil and calling you the devil, calling me the devil, and yet the devil is a serpent. Amen. He crawls on his belly. He is, amen, the one that is going to and fro, seeking on whom he can devour it. Genesis 3:15 talks about how he shall bruise this the heel and how we shall bruise his head. Amen. We cannot allow the devil to bite us in the foot and then turn around and bite us in our mind. Amen. It is only when he bites us in our foot that he allows that poison to go into our mind. And so that's why we have to recognize that the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. We don't have to go into the place where demons are without casting them out. So that's why these signs shall follow those who believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. And so that's why it's important for us as believers to have a recognition of who the image of God is. And so that's what the physical side, that this man now is no longer operating out of the dirt. He's no longer in the grave. He's no longer sleeping among the tombs. He has now been given an image. He didn't know that he had an image for his future until Jesus shows up, and that's the same way with us. We didn't know that we had an image while we was in the bar, while we was on drugs, while we was whoremongering and doing all the stuff that we were doing out in the world. We had an image that was just waiting on us, but we had to come to a recognition that we needed to come out of the dirt and we needed to be washed in the water. We needed to be washed in the blood. We needed to have the Word of God translated into us to have the mind of Christ. So that's why Paul said, let his mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And so that's why it's important for us that when we look at physical conditions and we look at people who may be wounded by sickness or by mental illness or by things that are happening in their life, let's not be preconceived to judge them, because really all they need is a transfer. They need to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. They need to have something spoken to them that turns the light on. We can turn the light off on a whole lot of folks, and I think sometimes we would rather walk in darkness than to walk in the light. And that's why it's important for us that are in the body of Christ in this hour to become light bearers, to become carriers of the light, carriers of life. Be a life, amen, support system. Amen. Quit trying to put people in places that God never intended for them to stay. And so that's why he has anointed us to bring them out of captivity, to break the chains, to loose the bonds that have held them back and held them down. And so everybody has a potential to become a born-again believer. And so Jesus, again, is the one who exemplifies out of this scripture that this man's physical condition is getting ready to be made whole. And so here you see this man in his right mind, sitting there, clothed, and in his right mind. What an amazing, amazing transformation that a man goes from the cemetery to the life support system. He goes from sleeping among tombs to now sitting at the table probably with Jesus. And that's what makes the difference in this hour, that he comes to bring dead things to life. He comes to heal the sick, to raise the dead. He's still in the raising business. He's still in the resurrection business. He's still doing miracles. He's still raising folks up from obscurity where they have been rejected. He's bringing them to a place of honor. And that's what I love about God, that he is doing what he's doing in this hour, because it is him, amen, who has not only been raised from the dead, but it was him who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so when we look at the physical side of this particular scripture again, it is to see where here's a man sitting and clothed in his right mind. Everybody in that city finds out the physical side of this man has been healed. And let me just remind you, everybody is not pleased at people getting healed. Some people they don't want to see miracles. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe that God is still raising people up from depression, from mental illness. Some people, you know, once you get born again, some people still like to keep you in your pants. But we have an obligation in the body of Christ to celebrate people when they get saved. The Bible says when one sinner is saved, heaven rejoices. We have to begin to rejoice with those who have been redeemed, those who have been brought out. And I think sometimes we do the church a discredit because we want to keep people in the high chair when we ought to let them go in the kitchen and cook their own meal. Amen. They've been in the church 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and we want to keep people in the high chair. And it's time, I think, that God is calling his church to maturity. I believe he's calling us to a place where he wants us to be on holy ground and not the playground. Amen. He doesn't want us, amen, backsliding and sliding backwards off the sliding board. He doesn't want us going around the merry-go-round and, amen, going up and down on the seesaw and, amen, and swinging from here to there. I believe God wants us to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so when people come out of physical problems and physical situations, the church should be celebrating. The people of God should be celebrating that here's a man that was now sitting there clothed and in his right mind. But when you read the text, you find that these people became mad at Jesus and told him to get out of the city. Amen. They were mad and afraid of this man still. Here's a man sitting there clothed in his right mind, but the people are still afraid of this man who has been healed. And I think that's, again, in reiterating this text, is that we have to be able to not be afraid or flee from those who God has called whole. We have those who still want to use those things that have been held against our paths, still to be held against our paths. And yet God has called us, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and yea, all things have become new. So it's important for us, once we begin to look at the physical side of this man being healed, that we embrace the physical healing. The Bible healing. The Bible tells us that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. And that's where we're going to deal with, amen, the financial side here in a minute, because here's a man that, first of all, he has been born again. He's been healed. The demons have come out of him. Amen. He is now sitting there clothed in his right mind. And yet he is still identified as one who is still in his past condition. The people does not celebrate what Jesus has done. And I believe that this is the Antichrist spirit that is operating around the world today. People still don't want to believe in Christ. They don't want to believe in the resurrection. They still are sad, you see, the Sadducees. Amen. They still want people to stay in the same place, doing the same things, around the same time. And when God begins to show up at the right time to do the right thing, we cannot embrace that he has showed up and worked miracles. And so that's why it's important for us to mature as the body of believers, because remember this ministry that we preach and the gospel that we preach is a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling men and women back to God through his Son. So the ministry is not about Derek, is not about Smitty, is not about Joe, is not about Terry or Tim or Tiny or anybody else. It's about Jesus Christ. The ministry, the gospel, is about Jesus. His name is above every name. And let me just remind you all that are listening, he still is in the business of new beginnings. He is still working miracles in the midst of his people. And so I want to, again, admonish those about ministry who are about the Father's business. Continue to do what you're doing. Continue, amen, in Isaiah 61, in that anointing where he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor, to the captive, to the brokenhearted. It is so important for us on October the 16th, 2013, to not forget the Great Commission. It is so important in this hour because as we see the darkness that is in the earth today, it is because I believe that the children of light have allowed their lights to become dim. I believe that there is an awakening that is taking place. I believe that there's a new beginning that is taking place in this nation. I believe that even our government is beginning to recognize that we need to turn to each other instead of turning on each other. And as long as we are turning on each other, we are going to continue to see the despair, the distress, the discontentment, the debt, and all the things that the devil has been doing to keep us in the likeness of God versus the image of God. And so that's why it's got to be a transformation. It's got to be a transition that is going to take place in the life of the believer, just like this man. He went from being dead to being alive. And so that's the message of the life support system that the Lord had me to write this book, and it's been a blessing. We've been traveling in the South with it, and I'm on Amazon. Those who are out there who have e-books, I'm on Amazon. You can go to Amazon e-book. The name of the book is called Church on Life Support. It's available on Amazon. And so I just want to, again, admonish those. The reason why I go through that book, because that's what God did with me. He took my life. Elder John, he took my life, and it was messed up. I was a sinner. Paul said I was the chief of sinners. I was one that was in the world and had my mind all messed up. At one point in time, I was contemplating suicide. I was contemplating that I was at a low place in my life that I didn't want to live anymore. I had been ridiculed and talked about. And when a person has been pressed down for so long, that's what goes out of the man or the woman. They've been pressed down so long that nobody has took their hand and told them to press their way on. And so that's why it's important. So when we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that we write the book. And so that's what I want to deal with on the third matter of this subject, is that this man is sitting there clothing his right mind, and Jesus tells the man to go back and publish, go back to his friends. And this man goes back and he begins to write a book. He wrote a book. He published what had happened to him. The Bible says that he went and preached into 10 cities. This man went about the Decapolis, I should say, preaching the gospel. He went into 10 cities preaching and carrying a book talking about the miracle of Jesus. And that's why I want to talk about that financial situation of this man moving from the spirit, moving from the physical, and moving to the financial. There are some people that are out there listening. You've been through that situation where you've been spiritually dead. You then went through maybe a sickness, physical conditions that have almost taken you out. And then we're talking about finances that are dead, dead situations, dead spirits, dead bodies, dead finances. But I believe this is an hour that if Harry Potter can sell billions of books, and he's talking about the devil, wizards and witchcraft and wizardry and all this other stuff, and we have people who have come out of great despair, people who have been healed, almost pronounced dead, and yet they have testimonies that will not only bring God the glory from their story, but it's something that will transform people into reading and overcoming themselves. That's why it's important for when Jesus told the man, amen, to go publish and go back to his friends, he went and made sure that he did not just keep this thing that had happened to him to himself. And that's what books are. I know a lot of people don't agree about books, and they say the Bible is the only thing you need to read, but the Bible tells us that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. So he told Habakkuk to write the vision and make it plain. He told Jeremiah, Habakkuk chapter 2, he told Jeremiah, he said now, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, he told him whatever thing he had spoken to him, write it in a book. So it's nothing wrong about publishing your story. And I want to admonish those that are listening
that maybe God has spoken to you. Maybe you have got a prophetic word some years ago. I had a woman of God come to our ministry. She's been with us about 2 years, and she said she had gotten a word years ago about writing a book. She just finished her book in July with our help. Amen. That's what we're about, is helping people to publish. Amen. We have access to an editor. We have access to a publishing company. And I want to admonish you, if, again, you want to call me and talk with me about that. My telephone number, again, is 330-240-0235. I'm open to receive that which I'm called to do, and that's to bring life and help people in life. And so we're not so, amen, distant to people that we cannot reach out to people who need our help. And I think that's why we have to begin to do the Great Commission again, because a lot of us have become at ease and comfortable in Zion, and we think we've arrived and we've made it. But I'm telling you, I'm still learning. I'm still learning about who I am and whose I am. I'm still learning about the Scriptures and how to allow that word to, again, make me the living epistle that God has called me to be. And so this is the reason why I'm so excited about writing books, is because it brings a financial situation alive. I've had stories after stories where just writing the three books that I've written have brought me transformation in my finances. When I was at my wit's end, when I was almost down, didn't have anything, barely making it, no food, no gas, that book that I wrote was a lifeline to even keeping me going with food and sustaining me with gas in the car or paying a bill. And so if Harry Potter can make billions of dollars talking about the devil, how come Christians who have overcome drugs, mental illness, sicknesses, how come we cannot go and write with a pen and a pencil or in a piece of paper books that is going to help people learn about God? And so we're living in a day and a time that I think that God is pushing us to see the revelation on why it's important for us to tell our story, so that the glory can be revealed, because our story reveals the glory. And so as we see the man, again, Jesus telling him to go and publish, go home to thy friends, verse 19, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have had compassion on thee. And he departed. See, he not only heard the word, he did the word. You see, he did what James tells us to do. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. This man is in his right mind. He just got born again. He is now in his right mind, and he's getting ready to write a book and go preach. How exciting that is. How exciting that is that you get saved. You were a prostitute. You get saved. And now you're trying to tell other prostitutes or drug addicts or whatever sins that we might have committed how a man named Jesus took you from death to life, took you from saying yes to everything to saying no to everything that you needed to say no to. That's my first book, is Anointed to Say No. My second book is called Time to Change Your Oil. And the third book, again, is called The Church on Life Support. So I'm excited about what God was really revealing to me about this program tonight, and how we could change some things. And so I want to, again, just admonish those who are out there. I know time is of essence. We're getting to that place. We're about ready to wrap up. But I want to just say in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, I want to remind you that Jesus, in our closing, he brought his 12 disciples together in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. He called them together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So we're not just looking at what has happened with Jesus and what he did for the man who was mentally ill. He called his 12 disciples. And let me remind you, Judas was a betrayer. Judas, some called the devil. But God did not let Jesus ridicule even the one who would betray him. Sometimes you know people are not right, but we cannot worry about those who are with us that are doing wrong. We need to exhort people, love people right where they are. Some of them we don't got the devil in them. You know, they act like the devil. But our job is not to sit here and fight with one another about who got the devil in them, who don't. Our job is to go and cast out devils and to heal sicknesses and diseases. And so I believe that tonight this has been a strong rhema word and a prophetic word for us to get up and be about our Father's business. And I do want to thank you all, to those who are listening. I do want to admonish you and edify you again to be about our Father's business. And that's what it's really all about in this hour, is to be about our Father's business. And when we take care of his business, he'll take care of ours.
Amen. What a powerful word. Is there anyone that would like to make a comment to Apostle Scott? Anything? Any questions? Please just hit number one, and your mic will light up, and we will activate you. You hit number one. Anyone would like to make any comments, please do so before time runs out. 216-631. Any of the 216s or 631s. Amen. Well, Apostle Scott, you know, we can't, time that you come on, you always bring in a powerful word and definitely enlightening, you know, to the lives of those that do listen. I have received calls and was waiting for you to come on so that they can receive a word from you. So it has been truly a blessing again, and again. So we do thank you for that. We do have like about 3 minutes in closing, and if there's any more comments, any final comments that you would like to make, you know, you can do that. And also as far as prayer to close out, we would like you for you to do that as well.
Amen. Again, I want to reiterate the 3 books that I have, and to those who have been blessed by this broadcast tonight, you know, my books are available. You can send me a letter, tell me how much you appreciated the word, and put a love offering in that. My P.O. box is 105 Niles, N-I-L-E-S, Ohio, 44446, and just make that out to Derek Scott. And I'll be glad to send you the book that you asked for. I'll be glad to send that book back to you. These are some powerful inspiration, motivation books. The Lord has given me a word to empower his people in this hour. And so I do want to admonish you to do that for those who have been blessed by the broadcast. Send for the books and put a love offering in that. Let me know how much you appreciate what you did here tonight. And I do want to, again, thank you, Elder John, and to your lovely wife, Dr. Suzanne Clay, and New Beginning Ministries, and what God is doing in your all's life. And so let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word that has been shared tonight. We ask you, God, that you not only continue to minister to those who are broken, to those who've been bruised, to those who are discontented and in debt, and those who are depressed or discouraged in this very moment. Father God, we ask you that you turn around and, Father, give them a new beginning. Give the ones that have not only heard this word a new beginning, but give them an opportunity, Lord God, to share the gospel with someone else. We're living in the day and time for the Great Commission to be increased and accelerated, for we are living in a time where the gospel has to be preached into all the world. And we know, Lord God, that as it is being preached, that the men and women that are now responding to this message are being blessed because you come to bring dead things to life. Now, Father, we ask you to bless us and keep us until the next time. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Again, we thank each and every one of you for tuning in at this time. We are getting ready to close. Keep in mind that we love you, but God loves you most. And until next Wednesday, we look forward to tuning in with you, and please join us again. God bless you, and good night.
John? Yes, praising.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. What a word of word, man. I stirred up and I got some revelation out of myself.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yeah, Brother Norm is here. He said he enjoyed it as well. He wanted to let you know.
Beautiful sermon.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Norman. Long time to hear from you. I'm still going for it, man, and you there?
Yeah, we definitely enjoyed that. We'll be getting some calls. I had a couple of calls that heard you the last time, and they was anxious to hear you. They are by internet.
Okay.
To listen by internet.
Yes.
You know, but it's definitely a blessing, though. Definitely a blessing.
When would that be available in the archives?
You would go to Blog Talk Radio. And then once you go to Blog Talk Radio, then in the window you would type in "We Can Begin Again."
Okay.
And
that's available again. That's available tonight for my wife to hear, huh?
Yes. Actually, okay. It's should be available in a few minutes.
Okay. Good.
It doesn't take that much time.
I like to go back and always hear what I've said, and we'll listen to it together. But yeah, that's a great opportunity. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to share that. And I pray. I know that you said you at one time y'all were getting like what 900 some people to listen at the archives.
Yes. Yes.
We've been up to
1900.
1900. Wow.
Yeah, we've been up to 1900. Our numbers went down lately, and I think it's because of the summer. Usually, the winter usually starts going back up again.
Going back
on the move.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're excited about the word and what God is doing, and you know the ministry too, because that that was a revelation when he said eight words, new beginning. Have you ever heard that before?
Eight words?
Yeah.
I've heard it before. Yes.
Okay.
Amen. That's always a blessing. Any new beginning is always a blessing. Coming out of whatever you're coming out of and into a new beginning is always a blessing.
Yes, sir. And I know that's where God, you know, even with our government, I think that they are recognizing that we need to turn to each other instead of on each other, because if we keep on going down the same road we've been going down, we're gonna wind up going around that same mountain when he's trying to take us into that promise, you know.
That's right.
And that's the thing that we got to recognize, you know.
That is right. Yeah. Yeah.
So Brother Norman, you recovered now. I know you had a little setback there. You're doing good.
Yeah, I see the best of every day. I count my blessing.
Amen. So I'm glad that you had a testimony for that test that you went through. That's what God takes us through, you know. He takes us through to give us a testimony. Anytime we go through something, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, he looks good. You know, God definitely is doing some great things in his life, you know.
Amen.
He's a walking mouthpiece.
Yes. But that's the key to
always ready to share who God is and what he's done in his life. Always ready to share that.
I heard you speaking of troubles in your life, you know, and writing, you know, but John in the past has said, you know, I should actually write, you know. But it made me think maybe, with therapeutically, spiritually, I should actually write about that, some of my experiences.
Yeah, that's the benefit of being able to share your testimony, you know, and God can enlarge that, and people can hear about it all over the world, you know. And like I said, it's not just for you just to share it with the few when you can share it with the masses, you know.
Yeah,
and
people are troubled, homeless, sick. And they see the worst, but anyway, we do God's work by spreading the word, doing God's business, the Father's business. And sometimes we do that in a variety of different ways, in our actions, our speech, and even our writing. You know, we have certain gifts that we are able to tap into through the Lord and to spread the word.
And like I said, you know, with Harry Potter, she wound up becoming a billionaire writing about the devil. Ain't that something?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. Writing about the devil and became a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right. Well, things have got to change.
Yeah.
Things have
got
to change.
We believe in it. We believe in that change is coming, and we have to be able to embrace it. Everybody don't want to change, but we have to be able to embrace it, you know.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Tell me, how was
looking forward to
the volume on your end?
Huh?
How was the volume on your end?
Good. Everything to me was good. I normally would have been at the church doing this, but I was down there all day working. I've been working on getting a seat put in and doing a little bit of painting, just fixing up some stuff around the ministry. And so I was tired. With my wife having surgery, I'm doing two or three different things extra because I'm picking up the grandkids, I'm taking her to the therapist, and all that running around, man, it can wear you out. My sister went in the hospital yesterday. I didn't even get a chance to go see her. She was having shortness of breath, and so I had to maybe go out and see her in the morning. And another sister, her and one of the sisters from the ministry in the same room together.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey.
So we.
Derek, hold on for 1 minute. It's a caller coming in. Hold on 1 minute.
Okay.
Hello? 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 Caller coming in. I must have missed them or whatever. They're probably calling about the broadcast, the podcast.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, maybe they'll call back.
Yeah,
I'll leave you a message.
I have the number on here, in my phone.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that's what it's about. Yeah. So you said your sister has been ill.
Yeah, she was having shortness of breath yesterday, and so she went to the hospital and they kept her, so they ran some tests on her. Yeah.
She's doing okay today.
Yeah, I think she was resting. I'm going to go out there tomorrow. I got so busy today I couldn't even get over there to see her today. I'm going to go out there first thing in the morning, Lord say so, to see him.
Okay.
Her and another sister, one of the ladies from my church, she went to the hospital yesterday, and both of them in the same room together.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What a coincidence.
Yeah, so the only thing we did was pray. We prayed last night and prayed today for them, and so I'm going to go out there tomorrow morning to check on them, see how they're doing.
Okay.
But I'm glad, like I said, I'm not going to keep you.
Carol is getting ready to go for surgery. Carol, she's had a surgery already, right?
Yeah, she didn't come out of surgery. Now, I got some people coming from Mobile on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we go to Canton on Thursday, and
okay.
We go to Massillon. We go to Massillon on Thursday and then Akron Friday afternoon, and then we're back in Warren on Friday night and Saturday morning.
You're Massillon on Thursday?
Yeah, Massillon. We're going to be at the Andrews in Massillon at Breath of Life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Did you get a flyer?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, you should get a flyer on Friday. I'll mail one tomorrow to you.
Okay. I usually get one. I'm sure it's probably in the mail.
Yeah.
Suzanne and I, we're definitely going to try to support it, definitely.
Yeah. I'll put a flyer in the mail to you, and that way you have the info.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, other than that, we're so excited. I'm glad everything was clear. Was it pretty clear on your end?
Yes, it was. You started off, you was kind of muffled. You could barely hear you. And then when you started talking, it started getting clearer. It was much clearer then.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, we're glad. I'm going to go back and listen at it and get some more insight on what was said.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, it was enjoyable. On our end, we it was enjoyable. You know, there was it was definitely inspiring. You know, the word was definitely inspiring and was timely.
Amen. Well, Brother Norman, you take care of my brother, and look forward to seeing y'all at the appointed time.
Look forward.
Yes, sir. Anything we can do to help get that book written, let us know.
Will do.
All right.
Tell Carol.
All right, love y'all now, and
I'm going to let you go, Brother John, and I'll talk back with you at the point of time, okay?
Tell Carol we love her, and we're praying for you both, and we're praying for, you know, for a speedy recovery for her also.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. God bless you, bro.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.